Welcome to the Greyhound Girl podcast with your host, Dimity Ma. Don't forget, you can follow her on Facebook at The Greyhound Girl.
On this episode of the podcast, I catch up with talented up-and-coming Western Australian breeder and trainer Morgan Turner to have a chat about his untraditional entry into greyhound racing and how he's cementing his place in the training ranks in WA. We also had a chat about his entry into the breeding barn side of things and some helpful advice for anyone looking to pick up the Leiden collar. I hope you enjoy this episode. Tell me a little bit, firstly, about your story. So obviously, you know, you're training out of WA, but yeah, tell me how long you've been involved in greyhound racing and how you first got started in the industry.
Yeah, I think probably about 9 or 10 years, I'd say. Yeah, we bought this property to set up as a boarding kennel.
Oh, yeah.
And... yes, where we live's Greyhound Retreat, so Greyhound trainers around the area, I guess.
Yep.
And, started to show a bit of interest in the greyhound racing, and I was working on an iron ore mine with a one of the guys there was Ian Britton. So yep. I was quizzing him about greyhounds, and he said he's the black sheep of the family and go see his sister Linda. So, yeah, went and... went down to Linda Britton's kennels and Chris Hulse. And, nice. Yeah, started spending each time I was off work, I'd go down to their kennels and spend a few hours. And that's pretty much how we got started into the greyhound industry.
Outstanding. I spoke a couple of weeks ago to Brody Kirby, who's sort of got a similar story, and he's sort of been mentored by Chris and Linda, but I can only imagine how fantastic they were in being able to sort of help you understand the foundations and the basics of what it takes to train a greyhound.
Yeah, that's it. I was blown away. Like, jumped in the car with Linda and I used to be able to drive alongside the straight track and I think we were like 60 k's an hour and this dog was running beside us and I was like, man, these things are bloody awesome, you know. And then I was come home and told my wife and she's like, nah, we're not getting a greyhound. And then... Then I worked offshore and another guy I worked with out there and, eventually bought a greyhound with a few boys out there. And we called him, like, the prefab area that we worked in was called Double Joint.
Yeah.
So bought this greyhound and called him Double Joint. And we still have him here today.
Oh, outstanding. What was it like, the experience of having your first one? Did you, were you a bit sort of nervous or whatever sort of going into your first one, or how did you feel?
I think it was more just like we weren't getting into it to train dogs. We were just getting into it to just for a bit of fun and a bit of the punt, you know.
Yep.
With a few workmates, and that's how it started out. And, so then we had it with another trainer, and I think he won his maiden, and he went to another trainer and didn't go so well. So as we were setting these kennels up as boarding kennels, I was like, oh, I think the other trainer just gave up with him. He's like, oh, he's at a boarding kennel. So I was like, oh, I'll just go pick him up. So I picked him up, took him home, and then the stewards rang me up, because I was the manager of the syndicate. And they're like, where's this greyhound? I'm like, he's here at my kennels. And they're like, we haven't approved your property. I was like, no, it's Shire approved. And they're like, no, we have to approve it. I'm like, all right. So they came around and, had a look at the kennels and they were happy with it. So, I just took out my trainer's license and, yeah, we started with that dog.
Yeah, nice. And tell me about your first win with him. That must have been pretty memorable.
Yeah, no, that was pretty good. And, so my wife didn't like greyhounds and then she fell in love with that greyhound. And because I was still working away at the time, so she was pretty much training it as she does now. And, we were just, back and forth and... I think he only won two races for us. It was pretty good and exciting times.
Yeah, nice. And have you, obviously you've convinced her to to have a few more now, but how many have you got in the kennels at the moment now?
Yeah, we've only got 20 at the minute. Oh, and we just had a little pups. There's not a seven there.
Yeah, nice, nice. What's their breeding?
Last year, I think we had ones we got here is Ethan Minnelli to Hooked on Scotch.
Oh, nice. Yep. Litters. You mentioned that you've got a Hooked on Scotch litter, but yeah, have you bred many litters yourselves so far?
Yeah, I think Karen said this was their 15th litter.
Oh, wow.
Bred quite a few of the Minnelli dogs.
Yeah.
For Mike, Michelle, Quincy. So.
Yeah. Nice. And you guys obviously enjoy doing it to have bred 15 odd.
Yeah. It must be over 100 pups there. But yeah, I was saying before the phone cut out. Last year I think we had 60 dogs between two properties. They had 30 dogs in work.
Yep.
Plus pups and breeds and stuff, yeah. So pretty full-time last year, but I've gone back to work this year.
Yeah, just right.
Back to the one property.
Yep. I assume Linda would have been able to give you some pretty handy advice sort of over the years about brooding and whelping.
Yeah, I suppose at the start, Linda and Chris, big help to us. Then we had the Robartsons help us.
Oh, yeah.
For many years. So, yeah, Christine and Dave Robartson. So
yep.
He's been my mentor, I'd say, for majority of my training career.
Yeah, lovely. Lovely. Is there, you know, I know people don't always like to give away sort of what they've been told, but is there anything, you know, you're sort of happy to share that he's passed on to you over the years?
I guess when I first met him, I asked him pretty much what advice he had for me, and we used to show dogs, and he just said, present your dog to the track like a show dog. Have a bit of pride in your dogs, you know. So every dog we take to the track's washed the day before. I think the dogs, you know, I don't know. Yeah, if you're presented yourself quite well, then probably perform better, as I think the dog's probably the same.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, it's just like, you know, most people that I talk to say on here, they go, look, a lot of it's common sense. And, you know, yeah, like you said, you know yourself, if you you know, look all right and you feel good, then, you know, naturally you're going to perform better.
Yeah, that's right. I think the another one's like happiness of the dog. That's a major thing. Like if your dog's happy, healthy and fit, you'll get the best out of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, asking one of my other mates, Sean Kavanagh, I was like, how come the dogs improve so much? He goes, just because I think they're happier. Like, just make sure they're happy and, they'll do the best for you.
Yep, definitely. And that can, you know, be something, you guys might do something different, but, you know, a lot of people I talk to, just something simple like getting them out of the, when you get them out of the kennels to go to the empty yards, you know, have a bit of a play with them, a bit of a pat and, you know, just little things like that.
Yep.
Nah, for sure. Switching to, obviously, your modern day success, Toad. Now, I'm keen to know I don't know, maybe the naming of him is not as obvious as what it seems, but he's turning out to be a very handy little performer. 29.75 at Kennington the other week, taking out the Autumn Classic Maiden Final, and yeah, you must be rapt with how he's progressing.
Yeah, he's been pretty good from the get go. Really, we broke him in. It was actually pretty funny. Actually, the second trial I give him. At Kennington, just over the short term, and breaking him in because Mountain was closed at the time. Steve Withers was there, and he's the Tommy Shelby man.
Yep.
So these are my Tommy Shelby, and the first time I trialed Toad, he went the slowest out of the four siblings. And then when I was saying Steve, I trialled Toad first, and he flew. I was so excited. I was like, man, he was the slowest. Wait till you see the rest of them. But no, I went as quick as him. So,
Nice. Where?
What was that? Where's the name come from?
Yeah, I'm keen to know because it's such a it's such a simple name, just one word, four letters.
Because we had when we were in the paddock, we had this one dog there. He hasn't been race named yet, but his name was Sonic. So then we just started. We called the whole litter after like Mario Kart sort of name.
Nice. I was thinking that, and I was like, is that too obvious that that's where they got the name from?
So we got Yoshi there. what else? Toad and Knuckles. He's Emerald Guard.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they're all named after that sort of character.
Yep. Nice. Now you said the rest of the litter are pretty handy too. Tell me about some of them.
Emerald Guard. He's gone pretty good. He's won his last two as well, and then I told him on Saturday, really good, so he's in the Derby heats tomorrow.
Yep.
As well as Toad, they both got box five.
Yeah, you lucked out a little bit there, didn't you? Jeez.
Yeah, that's it. A few of the other ones take a little bit of time to come on, but quite a few of them have won races.
Yep.
But yeah, Toad's the standout.
Yep.
But yeah, always... I trialled him against another good dog I had, Crypto Minnelli, and his first look at the 520 is only like a length off him. And, then put him in a couple of mains, but then he pulled up sore, so give him a break. And then when we brought him back, he was bloody flying again. And tried him at Cannington, went 30 flat. And, I think it didn't go so well a few times, and just saved it up for that automatic classic, I guess.
Yep.
We've had a few offers for people to try and buy him, but he's always showed ability and we knew he could do it, so.
Yeah,
I think he'd be a pretty handy dog.
Nice. Anything else particularly in your kennel that you like? I mean, like Minnelli, I think that was a 7/8 win the other night.
Career wins. She's going pretty good.
Yeah.
Should hopefully break the track record again.
yep. How are you finding the new Cannington track? I haven't been there. It's only from what I've seen on TV. But, yeah, is there much of a difference? And, do you like the new one compared to the old one?
At Mandurah?
Yeah.
Yep. Much the same, really. Yeah,
not too much difference.
Not too much difference, really, yeah.
Yep.
It's pretty similar.
Yeah, no, fair enough. One greyhound I did want to talk to you about, I know, he's obviously not under your care anymore, Stanger Moose. He was a little bit of a dog that I used to follow all the time, but, he was just one of those just real, sort of bread and butter dogs. Every time I saw his name pop up, I'd chuck a few dollars on him and that, and very rarely ran a bad race, the Moose.
Yeah, I was thinking if you're going to ask me what my best dog I've had.
Is that who you would consider?
Him, yeah. To be honest.
Yeah.
I've probably had faster dogs in the kennel over longer distance, but he's the, he tried the hardest out of all of them.
Yep. Yep.
I think he won 8 free-for-alls in a row.
Oh, my God.
Then we put him in the... I think it might have been the Mandurah Cup heats, and it was a bloody hard heat, and he did no well in that. And then he came out and won his next two, so over 11 starts, he won 10.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, no, he was he was always there whereabouts, and yeah, his name would always pop up in a free for all, and he was
he done them like week in, week out, wasn't having any time off in between, just. Pretty much, yeah, 8 weeks in a row.
That'd have to be some sort of record, surely. Like, that's a pretty handy effort.
Yeah, he was a beast.
Unreal. Amazing.
Remember someone asked me, like, what box does he prefer? I'm like, doesn't matter.
He's the Moose. He just does what he does.
Yeah.
Oh, outstanding.
I think for his maiden, he had box 8, and he trialled up pretty well. And he bloody slipped on the mat and
come
out dead last, and he still won.
Oh, I'll have to go back and watch that replay.
I didn't go back to the race call. It was going around everywhere, the race call, because it was like the Kingston Town race call, I reckon. couldn't win, but he did.
Yeah, nice. I'll have to go back and watch that replay. I don't remember that one.
No, that's good.
Outstanding. So, like, I know we're obviously, you know, almost 4 months into the new year, but, you know, do you guys set yourself goals, you know, for each year? Because, you know, you racked up 82 winners last year, which I presume is your, you know, I know these records only sort of go back a little bit, but I presume that was your best year last year. And, yeah, now are you sort of looking to go similar or maybe a bit better this year?
We probably can't be that because we don't have as many dogs as last year.
Yep.
But I think we just keep the sort of similar strike rate. We'll be good. But, yeah, no real goals. You just got to work with the stock that you got at hand, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, like the dogs are handy enough, I'd say.
Yep. Do you find, like, do you guys get, you know, because I get people say to me, oh, you know, I'm thinking of sending my dog, da-da, and I'm like, why don't you look up someone in WA? Because every time I talk to somebody from WA, I'm like, your prize money over there is just insane. Even just for, you know, maidens and novice races and everything, like, sometimes nearly double what you make over here. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and we've got pretty good bonus schemes for WA bred as well, like the bitch we're just bred now, she's Ethan Minnelli. So she would have won her maiden and her two novices in the city and run a few places, and they rack up 20 grand in like 20 starts, you know?
Yeah.
Like running a few places and winning those three races.
Yep, yep.
That's where they make the most money, those three, the maiden and the two novices.
Yeah, right. Yep. Can you explain the because I honestly don't know too much about it, the breeding bonuses and how they work over there?
I think like city breeders bonuses is $750 to the breeder and then $750 to the owner.
Yep.
And I think provincial might be $500 each way. And country races might be $250 or something. I'm not too sure on that one.
Yeah, right. Yep. Yeah, nice. Yeah, no, that's, look, you know, we used to have a breeding scheme here in New South Wales and it obviously sort of got phased out, but, yeah, I know there's sort of whispers that they want something else to come in, but I think anything would be, you know, better than nothing. So, yeah, it's just interesting to see how some of the other states work, but, yeah, no, WA is just, it's so enticing, you know, for people to send dogs over there. And do you get... offered a lot of dogs from interstate owners?
I've had a few people, but the kennels are normally pretty full.
Yep.
So, yeah, I've never really had any empty kennels.
Yep.
Yeah, if I was looking for dogs, I'm sure it wouldn't be too hard to find.
Yep, yep. Yeah, if anyone's got a rocket out there, you wouldn't you wouldn't say no.
Oh, yeah. City class dog, I'll find some room.
Exactly. Oh, and, you know, is it, I always ask, you know, people this question of what, you know, what race they'd like to win. Is, you know, possibly a Perth Cup or a Galaxy sort of, you know, a bucket list race you'd love to win one day?
Oh, not too greedy. Any group race will do.
Anything. I think I said to someone once and they're like, oh, look, I'm not having a great run at the moment. I'll just take any race, fifth grade, you know, maiden, anything.
Yeah. Hopefully one of these derbies coming up in the next couple of weeks will be good.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I know you said, you know, you got two box fives tomorrow, but, you know, like you said, they're both pretty handy dogs and that. And, yeah, do you give them a realistic chance of making the final? Where do you have to run? Is it winner and second?
First and second.
First and second?
Heats.
Yep.
So, yeah, they're pretty hard, to be honest.
Yep.
But, yeah, I think if Toe lead, they won't catch him.
Yep.
It would be good to see him on the arm. Like, I think he'll break 27 seconds there.
Yep.
And, yeah, the brother, Emerald Guard, he's gone trial 27:15 on the weekend, so... Yeah, anything can happen, I guess. It'd be nice if they can get in.
Yep, absolutely. No, lovely. And just probably finally, I know you've already sort of touched on a bit of advice, but I just obviously, from your perspective, do you have any family connections with greyhound racing, or you sort of just fell into it?
No family connection.
Yep.
Sort of just bought the property and asked around. I guess if any advice would be ask other trainers for advice, because I've asked everyone and no one's ever said fuck off.
I love it. Yeah. But no, it is true. You're right. I haven't had anyone say it to me. I've never really, I've had people say to me, oh, look, they didn't sort of tell me everything. And I said, look, you're probably not going to find someone who's just going to say, look, here's my whole entire routine. But I said,
Yeah.
99.9% of people will give you some sort of advice. And that ranges from trainers who have got a couple of dogs right up until the consistent group winning trainers. I'm yet to find someone who isn't too happy to help out. But I think your story is really good and sort of gives people, they can go, oh, okay, well, he hasn't sort of grown up in the industry with a lot of family connections, and you've sort of done it the a little bit sort of harder than a lot of other people. So I think it's good.
Yeah, well, that's what, when I was doing my trainer's test, I failed the first time.
Oh, did
and
ya?
the
No.
stewards rang me up and said, oh, you failed. I'm like, man, I read that rule book three times. I said, I've been in mining for years, I've never failed anything. Like,
God, how hard is it?
I
Was
didn't
it
grow up in the
hard?
industry. Like,
Oh, dear.
what are the questions I failed? And they told me the questions, and I'm like, it's pretty hard for someone new to the industry to try and get involved
Yep.
when no one helps you out,
Yep.
But yeah, so if they help me out with the questions and then redo the test and let me pass it. But coming from non-racing background, I guess it'll be a little bit hard. But
Yep.
like I said before, if you ask around to the trainers, everyone's willing to help you out. Even like some trainers you would think a bit standoffish and don't talk to much people at the track.
Yep.
I hit everyone up, and over the years, everyone opens up to you and gives you a bit of advice here and there.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, when they, I've had a couple of, sort of trainers like that. They're like, oh, I, don't like to, to give away everything and that. But once they see that, you're not just there to sort of take the piss, I guess, and they can see that you're dedicated to it and, want to make something out of it, and, you help out other people and whatever. I think, most people are pretty willing to say, look, can I give you this advice? Or if you go and say, oh, I'm doing this with my dog and it's not working, can you help me out a bit? And yeah, so no, that's really good. But I'm glad they don't have, oh, well, I only have my attendance license. I'm glad they don't have tests for that, because yeah, it scared me a bit. I'd probably fail it too. Oh,
I think
dear.
at the end of the day, like, if your dog's good, your dog's good. And I'm happy to get beaten by a better dog than my dog. So if you're
Yeah.
giving advice out, like, you end of the day, if the dog's better than yours, or if you're you're not gonna, if they're gonna beat you, they're gonna beat you.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
So whatever you, I know it's only like 1%, that you're bloody giving out. It's not something that you're going to tell them and it's going to give the dogs 10 lengths.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, and yeah, you would hear this all the time. People often say, look, you sort of, the better quality dogs you have, obviously the more wins you get and the better reputation as a trainer you become. So yeah, you're sort of only as good as the dogs that you've got in your kennel. And yeah.
Well, that's what I remember David Barson said to me when we first started out. He's like, you're lucky you don't have any champions. I'm like, why is that? He goes, because you wouldn't learn nothing. I guess if you've got a champion in your kennel, you think you're pretty good. But
Yeah. Geez, you wouldn't turn one down though, first up, would you? Wouldn't be a bad introduction.
See, but I think you do learn on the lesser quality dogs, but
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, I think
everyone's got to start somewhere. I think my first dog only won $6,000, an old double joint.
Yep. Nothing wrong with that. Hey, you won something, you know, there's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fantastic that, you know, you've done it from the ground up and, yeah, sort of done it the hard way and put yourself in the position where you are now. And hopefully, you know, someone might be listening to this and think, oh, hey, you know, I don't have a lot of connections, but, you know, I'm going to give it a crack and, yeah, see how they go.
That's it.
Get her.
Yeah, I work even Tom Ross, so 3 weeks on, 3 weeks off. So pretty much share the training.
Yep. And she's obviously grown to love it because, like you said, she wasn't too keen at the start.
She's she watches more races than I do.
I'll
be at the track watching Netflix and she'll be at home. Did you see that race? I'm like, no.
Oh, that's brilliant. But, you know, that is not uncommon for me to hear. I've talked to so many people, you know, not necessarily on this podcast, just out in general, and they're like, oh, you know, my partner wasn't too keen on it, and now they're obsessed and they love the dogs. And, yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing what greyhounds can do for people. They just, yeah, they just fall in love with them straight away.
Yeah. She loves it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Greyhound Girl podcast and for your ongoing support of not only this podcast, but of greyhound racing in general. Remember, you can follow Dimity at the Greyhound Girl on Facebook.